and welcome to the Stretch Podcast. My name is Lebukule, your host. My guests and I will be having conversations on matters of self-development, emotional well-being, spiritual growth, and overall transformation. These are guests whose work, expertise, knowledge, and wisdom has inspired and moved me tremendously, and I hope that they inspire and move you too. Here is another episode of the Stretch Podcast. Before the episode, just a note to say, if you're hearing this, it means you are not on the subscriber base of the Stretch Podcast, which means you will only be getting half an episode. We do not run adverts on this podcast. We do not claim to. Our income is directly from our subscriber base. We would love for you to join the subscriber base if you love and value what we do here. The subscription is 99 rands. You will get the link to subscribe on the show notes at the bottom or on all of my social media links on the bio. Until then, enjoy this episode. And I will see you, hopefully soon, on the other side. Hey, hey, Dumelang, Dumelang, my friends. It is I, Lebukule, your host, with another episode of the Stretch Podcast. And today I am in conversation with Amy Isaacs, and we are talking mental health. And you know what? You know, Amy and I recorded this episode sometime in March, early March. But I think it is so apt that it is going live now. It's coming out now because, yeah, this is a very, very, very odd week where our mental health is on, our mental issues and are just triggered to no end because of just the stories of Thabo Bester and Dr. Nandipha. Like, you know, I hardly ever sit on Twitter. I hardly ever sit on social media generally. You know, I might be on social media daily posting, but I'm those types, I dump and go. I post and I go. But I've been sitting on Twitter because I am in utter disbelief about Dr. Nandipha. And I keep saying to Wonga, wait a minute, is this the Dr. Nandipha that I follow on Instagram? And it's like, hey, wake up, look, and then he'll bring another blow by blow because he's into current affairs, I'm not. And so he's like another news anchor in the house. And I'm just thinking, what on earth is going on? I honestly thought that the biggest news this year would be the death of AKA. I thought that's it. I thought there is nothing. I know AKA died early in February. And I remember saying to a friend that I don't think there'll be any other news that tops this one. This is a big one. I'm still in disbelief that AKA died, by the way. I was a huge fan of his music, of his work. Maybe not necessarily him as a person, but his work was global, out of this world, you know. And then comes this news that are just shocking to the system, just messing you up. I mean, I don't know if you're not messed up by this Thabo Bester story and Nandipha at all levels, I don't know if you are understanding it, because it talks to everything that is wrong with our policing system, our government, our psyches. Something is off. And also just this frenzy on Twitter, the excitement, you know, the memes, and then Kamo, the Dalai Lama saga, like what, like I knew this year. I mean, if you haven't listened to my episode, my very first episode of 2023 of the podcast, A Year of Integrity and Alignment, please go listen to that. Because I do give some predictive nyana things, insights of what is actually going to happen. You know, things that will shock you to the core will come to fore. But now that they're happening, it's like, what? What? You know, I guess this is what they mean when they say, you know, sometimes fiction, truth is stranger than fiction. Because honest to God, the things that happen behind our own closed doors will put fiction to shame. I mean, it will just run circles on the movies that we watch, because the real movies is our real lives. Dr. Nandipa Thabo Best, a case in point. Three bodies? Are you serious? Milly Mill and Buravers? Oh my God, are you for real right now? Like, goodness. And so I'm happy that this episode is coming out now, that perhaps you will learn some stuff from Amy, because she is another incredible teacher. She's an occupational therapist by profession, and I'll read her bio just now. But oh my goodness, she unpacks mental health in ways that I've always wanted it unpacked. And so maybe let me go ahead and tell you what we covered, then I'll read her bio. So one of the things that I've always wanted to know, or I've always wanted to have a deep discussion on and a conversation on with someone, was the mental health. You know, we talk about mental health all the time. Yo, your mental health is important, guys. Take care of your mental health. But do you actually know what we are talking about when we're talking about mental health? Because we are certainly not talking about a spa day and drinking champagne. That's not taking care of your mental health. Maybe it's a tiny, tiny aspect of it. But Amy unpacks what are we talking about when we're talking about mental health. Amy unpacks what it means to not take care of your mental health. So we talk about mental illness, what it entails. She unpacks what an occupational therapist does. And then she unpacks what her club, the self-care studio, why she started it and what it does and how it will help you. And unfortunately, for those of you who are on the partial episode, on the free episode, you won't get to hear a lot of it, because the conversation is about an hour and a half. And the big part, I mean, the first 30 to 40 minutes, we cover occupational therapy. We cover some of the things that are making our mental health so cray cray, some of the everyday issues that impact your mental health, which is quite a lot of juicy information. But later she unpacks what the self-care studio covers, and then we go even deeper to the South African context of mental health issues. So it's a very juicy, very everyday type of topic, but also very nerdy, very educational, very insightful, because, you know, Amy is a teacher at heart. She might be an occupational therapist professionally, but she has this gift of unpacking very complex issues. And also she has this wide perspective where she connects load shedding to your mental health, to your work, to your boss, to your breathing. Do you know what I'm talking about? She's just excellent. And if you are able to subscribe to the podcast, please do that, because I don't want to belabor that point too much. So let me read her bio just now for you, so you know who she is and what we covered. Where is it now? You know, these things of iPads, a screen just going dark. Okay, here, I found it. Amy Isaacs is an occupational therapist with more than 12 years experience in child and adult mental health. She has a special interest in mental wellness, anxiety, and stress management. And in 2020, she started the Self-Care Studio, an online platform that aims to destigmatize and improve access to mental health information and stress management techniques using social media platforms like Instagram and YouTube. And this is where I met her. This is where I found her. Sometime in 2020, I bumped into her live, where she was teaching breathing techniques and relaxation techniques, which she covers in detail as to why breath, I mean, this is the third time in a row where breath is a big, big deal. So, you know, there's something there about breath work. So she was helping us with breathing exercises and some calming your nervous system techniques sometime in 2020. So I started following there. The platform has since grown to now offer mental health retreats, sensory regulation and stress management toolkits, and mental health talks. Amy is passionate about helping people include mental health care in their daily lives, in a manner that is easy to use, affordable, and accessible. And I want to harp a little bit on the just that last paragraph where Amy is passionate about helping people include mental health care, self-care in their daily lives, and in a manner that is easy to use, affordable, and accessible. That is very important for me because that is precisely why I also created the coaching notes. Because you know what, guys, we are at a point in our lives where we absolutely have to take our mental health seriously. We absolutely have to go to those coaches. We absolutely have to set up those appointments with therapists and counseling and stop using coaches and counselors and therapy as trauma units, as ER. I know the counseling includes a lot of raw trauma, but what I've found is that people would come to me or to a coach because they're triggered, they're deeply, deeply traumatized by something. Something happened that triggered this and triggered that. And then, no, I want a coach. I need coaching. I need help. And then they come for two or three sessions at the most. And then they disappear again, using a coach as a trauma, as ER. That's like taking a Panado. You know, coaching and therapy is meant to be part of your lifestyle. Yes, you might not necessarily go every week forever and ever. Amen. But if you commit to a coaching session, commit to all the 7 sessions or the 6 sessions that your coach says, so that you, whenever you are triggered, you don't run to a coach. You have tools that she has given you or he has given you that you can use at that moment. I'm going to have another conversation with another coach talking about the coaching world, you know, so we will let you in on our coaching world, sort of like what we did with Fezi, but slightly deeper. You know, we're bringing you in so that you get a better picture of what coaches go through, because you know, we might look all beautiful and deep and insightful and giving you really good content on social media, but the business aspect of coaching is very, very dicey. It's an extreme sport. Which is why, if you have noticed, you'll find that a lot of us coaches are now creating membership programs where it's a membership like the self-care studio that Amy has, the coaching notes that I have, and I've seen some coaches that I know who are also starting communities where the fees are like a subscription model, like really a nominal fee. Like my coaching notes, it's 120 for audio that helps you with your everyday life, just like Amy, your day-to-day living, how to approach a difficult conversation, how to approach a difficult situation, how to get unstuck, how to avoid procrastination, how to unlearn certain things, how to step into your power, how to set boundaries, how to walk away, how to let go. Those are the everyday things that sometimes you don't actually need a one-on-one coaching. You don't need to take out $1,500 and sit down with me for an hour only for me to say to you, yeah, you actually need to let go, you know? So coaching notes are meant for that. So for your 120, you get 4 audio every week in your email, on your phone, ping, and then you get to listen to that, you get to do your homework, and you get to feel supported by a coach every week of your life. And Amy Self-Care Studio does that, although she does lives, I think once a month, a live, and her sessions, her studio is, I think it's $350 a month, also very, very affordable. Okay, so I just needed to harp on that a little bit more because I think we are actually not taking this mental health thing, even though we talk a lot about it on Instagram while sipping pina colada and saying, "Your mental health is important," while sipping pina colada. Yeah, like, okay. Okay, now I give you the conversation with Amy. Amy, finally, we made it. Hey, after, you know, I don't know how long did I... have I been wanting to talk to you? I think since the beginning of the year, but I literally couldn't get to that DM.
I would have you on my to-do list. And so I'm going to send a DM. Eventually, I did. And here we are. Welcome to the Stretch Podcast.
Same though, I meant to book and reply to you so often, but really, this year has just gotten it's got going by so quickly. It's
Yeah, it
so
is.
we won't
But
be too harsh on ourselves with
no, we won't.
but I think it's also a matter of like, I think we're still reeling from lockdown, I think we're still healing, we're
Yeah.
still recovering. I think many of us took a knock last year, just of like, trying to keep our head above water, and I think we need the break. And I think this year we're going, oh, I'm ready again.
Yeah,
And that just gives us a lot to do.
that's an interesting perspective because 2020 I was fine, 2021 I was okay, but last year, my goodness, I took
My
I
goodness.
even paused the podcast for nearly the whole year because I just everything about my life was just not happening, from the energy in the body, putting just I just could I wanted to just sleep the whole of last year, and in a way I
Same.
sort of did because I cut out a lot of work. What is that about? I love where you're going with this. Why
I
two
think it
years
is
later?
because we are, so my perspective on that is that we are, and especially as women, especially as South Africans, I think we are geared to survive. So we push our resilience, we push our survival mode. I think we were so far in survival mode for most of 2020 and 2021 because we had to be. We were thrown with something that we had no experience in, no ability to understand what we were going through. And we actually just all had to keep our head above water. We all just had to try different things. And it wasn't only just from a personal mental health perspective. We had to adapt how we manage our families. We had to adapt how we manage our workload, where we work. So, and even our finances. How do we spend our money when, we're not doing anything? Should I be, and even that pressure of like, okay, so I'm not spending on petrol, maybe I should be saving, but I can't save because there's more people at home and we're eating more, so we're spending there. And I think we tried so hard. And I think last year, all of us just went,
That is such a beautiful perspective. That's true, though,
Temperatures.
because it just
And
did not
health.
make sense. It was last year was hard. 2022, guys, I bow to that
So, I actually had two hospital stays last year,
year.
and they were short ones. They were for iron deficiencies. But two hospital stays, 2 months off work, and even in my space of self-care studio, I took such a break because, the thing is, something has to give. It gets to a point where you have to decide that it's not you, and it's hard to make that decision. It's very hard to make that decision. But I got to a point towards September of 2022 when I just went, I had to stop seeing clients. I had to stop my business things. I just had to go, something's going to give and it's going to be me. And this time I don't want it to be me. So what am I going to do to reset myself? But it was, the last 3 years have actually just shifted everything in our spaces. And I think that so these conversations are important because it's important for people to know that they're not alone. You weren't experiencing it alone. It's and I think when people think that they're experiencing something alone, they think there's something wrong with them, and that gets into the space of like, I am a problem. Now your environment was a problem. Your lived experience was a problem. If you live in South Africa, your biggest social context is the problem. It is not particularly you. And once you realize that you are not the problem, you can make fixes in areas of your life that you want to. But it's important for us to know that, it's not just us, it's not just me. We're all struggling. We're all struggling.
Now I see why you have the self-care studio, and I think that's the best segue really to get into the work that you do, because I follow you on your Instagram, and I just love generous teachers and givers. You might not call yourself a teacher, but I know a teacher when I see one. And it's through how you share. You're not the Instagrammer. You don't do one-liners and a lot of hashtags.
No,
You actually
it's
deliver.
long post.
It's long posts that require people who actually want to learn from you to actually read. So that's why you are also here, because I think my listeners are actually going to absolutely adore you. So maybe let's start with why is it that you, Amy Isaac, have something called the self-care studio, your backstory as to how you got here.
Sure. So I am trained as an occupational therapist. I love being an OT, and I've been an OT for many, many years. I think it's at least 12, 13 years now. And I work in the space of mental health with children and developmental mental health. So I've worked in intellectual disability, cerebral palsy, developmental delays, etc., for many years. And in a big space of that, I've always kept the space of, you know, the impact of stress, the impact of our mental health. I've worked with a lot of clients with a dual diagnosis, you know, intellectual disability, and they have depression, anxiety, schizophrenia, etc. So I've stayed in the space of being interested in mental health for many years, and I, of course, do a lot of the reading on my own. And then, I've worked in mental health facilities. I mean, if you've been in a mental health and care facility, an occupational therapist will plan your day program.
Yeah.
So I've done that, and you know, it was really just during lockdown when. And it was probably like the first couple of months of lockdown that I went, our mental health is a problem.
Yeah.
You know, the space of we're all trying to keep our head above water. We were so anxious. We were so stressed out. We were scared. And we had all the right to feel those feelings. Mm. And then, you know, we added on unbelievable mental loads to everybody. You know, parents had to work from home and manage schooling and manage, you know, the relationship with their kids. People had to work from home and manage relationships with their partners when you're around them all day. You know, we had to figure out how do we work and do our work. And I mean, for many of us, it was a matter of how do we actually keep our job?
Yes.
You know, I'm in the NGO sector, and my work is training. So yes, I am a teacher. I do a lot of
training. You sound like a teacher. Come on.
And I love this place. I think it is where I'm most comfortable in just helping people understand, you know, complex spaces, because we all have the right to information, and we all have the right to access the information in a way that we understand. It should be just a go-to space. We shouldn't have to struggle to get information.
Before you even tell us about the self-care studio, what is an OT? Just, you know, for layman's sake, what is an occupational therapist in terms of definitions? Because we always just confuse them. Is it a clinical psychologist? There's life coaches, there's counselors. What's an OT?
So as an occupational therapist, we are rehabilitational professionals. So we are health professionals. And very much in the space of, I think the easiest way to explain it, it's a difficult concept to explain, but we help you do the things you want to do, need to do, and have to do, especially in the time when illness or injury stops you from doing that. So if, for example, you'll find an occupational therapist in a hospital setting after surgery, because they'll teach you how to use, how to be dressed again, how to, and you know, I actually think using a stroke is a good example, because you'll see a lot of OT work in strokes. And you know, after the stroke, your muscles might be weak. So you might see a physio to help strengthen those muscles. An occupational therapist is going to help you strengthen those muscles while we teach you to get dressed again. While we teach you to make a cup of coffee, to you know, learn to drive your car again, learn to and use your computer again.
Wow.
And it similarly happens with adults and mental health. You know, after a depressive episode, for example, if you have depression, and you know, people with depression, they go through depressive episodes where it's quite severe, and things like having a shower is difficult. You know, going to work is difficult. And that's when clients would most likely end up in a mental health facility or in a clinic. And an OT is going to help you learn about your diagnosis first, because it's so important that we understand our diagnoses. And then an OT is going to help you, you know, learn how to set those boundaries so that you can ensure that you don't overwork yourself. You know, if you're looking at stress management and burnout, an OT is going to help you put a program in place. So that you look at self-care activities, you look at relaxation, you look at, like, you know, what do you need to put in place so that you can do the stuff you want to do, like spending time with family and friends, and the things you need to do, like making money and going to work. And, you know, even as simple as how do you ensure that you get up in the morning and have a shower? Because we must acknowledge that mental health affects everybody differently. And I so often tell people, you know, you're not showering for 3 days, and they go, "No, that's impossible." It's not impossible. When you're really down with mental health, it is really difficult to get up and bathe yourself. It's really difficult to brush your teeth. It's really difficult to, you know, pick up the phone and message someone and say, "I need help." it's important for us to acknowledge what mental health does to people and how it impacts our daily life. And an OT is going to help you through that, either through doing, and that's also important. We use activities. We won't, you know, I'll use talk therapy and I can do counseling. But if I'm looking at someone who has anxiety, for example, I often use driving anxiety as an example, because when you drive, that anxiety is not going away. So what do? We give you better skills to manage it. So let's talk about, sure, you know, maybe you should make sure you're always taking left turns. Maybe make sure you're always planning your route. So we do it with very practical examples. So OT is very practical.
It's very practical. It's very involved. And I'm glad I asked that question, because I thought I knew. I knew a lot that you've just explained, but I didn't realize the practicalities of it. I thought it was more talk therapy, but also you've got very specialized tools and techniques to help people, but I didn't realize the practicality of it. This is important work, man, Amy.
Thank you. And I think it's also important to note that we are very client-centered. So it is very rare that I'm going to do the same things with two different people.
Oh, you know? Thank you for saying that. People, I was going to ask, is it one size fits all? Like, I had a stroke, we're going to do the same thing and the same thing. So it, wow. So it's involved.
Yeah, it's very involved. The principles will always be the same, but because we believe in client-centered work, that, you know, in order for you to be an agent of change in your own life, things have to be specific to you. So that's also why we spend a lot of time getting to know clients, you know, and I'll ask things like, I mean, I ask if it's soccer fans, I'll ask them, what were you supporting? What soccer team do you work? Do you play? Do you either play for or do you watch, etc.? And I mean, we'll bring that in if we need to. It really is about finding what's most important and meaningful to a client, and then using what's meaningful to them so that their recovery is meaningful. So it's not just, you know, it's never one size fits all. Even with a creativity task, some people get creative through painting, others get creative through reading. Some people need to do gaming. You know, it really is about...
Some people need to listen to me. You are... I'm sorry to cut you, Amy. It's just that you have literally just validated some of the techniques I use with my clients.
Oh, fantastic.
So I'm a life coach. I did basic, what do they call it? Integral coaching principles. But I'm finding that... there's no one size fits all. And it's funny that you mentioned things that seem unrelated. Like, let me give you an example just to make this a bit conversational, so we find parallels in our work. I get my clientele, the women who come to me for coaching are generally professionals. So I'm talking doctors, lawyers, people who are senior at work, people who are new in leadership management. And what they present, it's mostly burnout, imposter syndrome, inability to deal with leadership. You mentioned earlier in passing that, you know, South Africans, we have a completely different context to a lot of the world. And therefore, Black South African women, in as much as we are go-getters and we work hard and we are really, we are right there in leadership, it presents imposter syndromes like nobody's business. So you'd find me saying to someone, how about I'll bring things like just do gardening this week. You said you used to love flowers. Go to a nursery, buy some flowers and just do gardening. And like, no, but you know, I'm struggling with leadership and you're telling me about gardening. But I know what I'm doing and I know what I'm trying to get them. I'm trying to get them to be less anxious, less depressed. Wow, thank you. I don't know where we were when I interjected. Yeah,
but that's so valid. And I think I'm going to carry on with your space of just finding parallels in our work. Coaching is a methodology that an OT would use. You know, I'd coach you through something. And like you're saying, even the space of, so I would do stress management coaching, burnout coaching, because sometimes that is just what a client wants. It's not particularly therapy that they need. They don't need to unpack the whys and hows, but what they need is the space of how do I get from A to B? And you have those answers. And even in gardening, you can find those answers.
Because
you know, if you consider something like imposter syndrome, I often will tell a client, if you're dealing with that, then let's look at what you are good at. And maybe sometimes that needs to be picking those flowers for that garden, so we can build your confidence, because in our next conversation, we're going to talk about great. So let's pull that into a work environment. What are you good at? Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's yeah. Coaching is
That's definitely coaching. So, geez, this is so much. I mean, I'm not even sure what direction to go now, but I love everything, by the way. Let's go to mental health. And the reason, I remember I came to a DM and I'm like, let's talk mental health. Let me tell you why specifically. Mental health is the buzzword these days, especially after 2020. And everyone say, take care of your mental health. Even random people, mental health is important. And I'm thinking, what exactly are we talking about when we're talking mental health? How do I know that I'm not taking care of myself, of my mental health? And when am I doing harm? If I mean, you are very practical and I love you for that. What are we talking about when we're talking about mental health?
When we're talking about mental health, we're talking about our view of ourselves and our view of the world and how we fit into the world. And that's sort of my take on it, because, you know, just in the space of we're talking about how our brains respond in terms of our thinking and our feeling to our environment. And that can come across in multiple ways. You know, it can come across. So I really love the brain, really love the brain. And you know, our brain is divided. Our brains are divided into different areas. And one of those areas is our emotions. But we cannot consider our emotions without considering the cognitive aspect of it. You know, our emotions and our thoughts are connected.
Yes.
When we have thoughts of something, they trigger emotions of things in us. And that's fair. That's realistic. And, you know, our thoughts on things is guided by our lived experience, you know, what you experienced as a child, whether it was trauma, whether it was a loving environment, you know, you could have had, and I think this is so important, especially as South Africans, to understand when it comes to trauma, you could have grown up in an amazingly structured, loving, nurturing environment. And then people go, oh, I can't have any issues with my childhood. But it wasn't about the environment. It was how your brain perceived your environment. So if, for example, you have such a nurturing, loving mom or maternal figure, and she was always caring for you, etc., but at school, they were always shouting at you, and you didn't like that sound, and you didn't like how people spoke to you, you could have had trauma in those spaces. And your brain perceived that as trauma. So as you grow up as an adult, that's going to be your perception of yourself. And that's why I'm saying that's important, is because what people spoke to, how we were treated as a child, builds our perception of ourselves. And what we experience builds our perception of ourselves. And then when we get to the space of how we should be, because this is also the space the world tells us how we should be managing our lives. And when we go in the space of, oh, I'm actually not where I'm supposed to be. And then, of course, you know, your cognitive spaces come in, all those thoughts, what you should have been doing, those trigger emotions in you. And then we add the space of the environment and what you, where you currently are. So, and I love that we're talking from a South African context, because our mental health is South Africans.
Go ahead.
Just the space of load shedding and the mental load we have to carry with load shedding, of always understanding what we need to think of and plan ahead and go forward with. The space of crime and always trying to watch ourselves. Where are we? Who's around our cars? Where's our bags? Where's our phones? Who's around us? All of those things. The cost of living at the moment is quite intense, and the stress attached to it. And, you know, we could go on and on and on, and I'm not looking for all the negatives. I'm trying to go to the space of our mental health is, with all of those things coming at you all the time, how are you able to respond to the world in front of you? And those, that's important, because trauma and stress, if we look at the neuroscience of the brain, right? With neuroscience of the brain, cortisol is released with any form of stress and trauma. And that can be something as simple as you miss your alarm, a little bit of cortisol is released. You get stuck in traffic, a little bit of cortisol is released. And it's important to note that mental health isn't just, you know, people think being poor mental health is somebody sitting in the corner being very sad. That's not what mental health is. You know, your mental health is playing out in the space of you are forgetful. You can't finish tasks. You can't start tasks even, because task initiation is a part of our brain and executive functioning. So when you see, and especially in employment space, when you're looking at an employee who is late constantly, is not finishing their tasks, they're just looking a little disheveled, you know, they're looking a little like they haven't washed their hair or like done, like looked after themselves. That the same clothing, the clothing is not like, it's, you know, this person has just changed so much from they started. And you know, our challenge in South Africa in many spaces is that because we don't support mental health, we're only going to see it when somebody has a complete collapse of all the structures they have in place. And that means, you know, then it becomes a case of they've got written warnings because they're late and they haven't completed work. So they end up 6 months after they have poor mental health, they end up unemployed, struggling with relationships, you know, struggling with their finances, and then they end up in a mental health facility. But gosh, we could have helped 6 months ago. We could have helped 6 months ago. You know, we could have got into the space of health promotion and prevention of illness. And that is where Self-Care Studio comes in. I'm trying to get people to go, hey, you know what? Can we take 20 minutes twice a week to do some deep breathing, to just center yourself, to actually get an understanding of what's going on in your brain, to balance that cortisol?
Well, this is the end of the road for you. If you want to continue listening to this episode, you will have to subscribe to the Shrek Podcast for 99 rand. The link to subscribe will be found on all the show notes at the bottom and on all of my social media handles on a link tree. It simply says, subscribe to the Shrek Podcast, and then you will get all the episode in full, plus bonus episodes and some of the coaching notes that I share with subscriber only. Until then, I will see you next week with another episode. Love and green lights to you.